This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
And welcome. It's Pat and Stu today, featuring Jeffy.
Hi, Pat.
And Jeffy.
How you doing?
Okay.
It's good to see
you. Yeah, you too.
Good to see you.
What is this? What are you doing?
What do you mean? I'm just saying it's good to see you.
Yeah. What kind of weirdness is going on here? No, there's something else going on.
Absolutely not. I'm just happy that you're here. Good to see you.
Really?
I'm glad you're doing well. Yes.
Are you? Are you glad?
Yes.
Okay. As
Why
if.
Would there be something?
I don't know, but I know there's something sinister bubbling under. It's good to be back. I've been gone for a while.
I know.
Just sick as a dog or a pig. I'm not sure which gets
right.
sicker. Either a dog or a pig, one of the two. But this flu that's happening, I guess, all over.
Yeah, I mean, the breakout is, there's a bunch of states that are in dire need of some people not breathing on each other.
I've never believed in the flu shot, but I'm ready to get it.
I'm still
nasty.
I'm still concerned. This is the first year in several years that I didn't get one, and after reading the report that it's still a major breakout right now, I'm thinking maybe I should.
That's not fun.
I don't know.
You maybe should. You maybe should. I'm always leery of vaccines to begin with, and my wife was just, I was just talking to her about getting a flu shot, she's like, what else do they put in that? I don't know. Nothing, probably.
No, they don't. Not a
nothing.
Thing. Not a thing.
I don't know what they, but, I mean, what, a mind control device?
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? Is that what we're supposed to be worried about? I don't know what it is, but the thing I kind of worry about is being injected with the thing so that you don't get the thing.
Right.
And because inevitably I'll get the thing if you inject me with it.
I mean, isn't that what's supposed to happen?
Kind of, yeah, but your immune system's supposed to, it's not enough.
No, I
don't know how the whole thing works, but, I usually get it. And so I just don't avoid, I just avoid that. And if it comes, it comes. But, man, this was bad enough.
Yeah, I mean, my father-in-law went down for the count last year after his shot. I mean,
he
said I might as well have just had the flu.
Yeah. So he just got it. He probably just didn't get the flu.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would probably be the case. But, like my wife can't get the shots because they're, allergic to eggs.
Are there, scrambled eggs in this thing?
Yes, yeah, they make them with the scrambled eggs. And they, a little salt and pepper. It's not bad going down, yeah.
I'm not sure how eggs really help fight the flu.
That's what they mix it with.
Why?
I don't know.
We need to look into this. Maybe that's the part that my wife doesn't like.
You put eggs in there.
You put eggs in there. I don't want eggs. I just want the whites.
All right. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. But they're calling it the greatest Super Bowl of all time. Some are. I think for three quarters, it was one of the more boring Super Bowls of all time. Once New England finally kicked into gear, it did become pretty exciting. It was a lot of fun at the end.
It sure was. And I'll tell you, I was on the texting back and forth a couple times with a person who's a huge Atlanta Falcon fan. And when
would his name start with point, and end in ETH?
It does. Mm-hmm. And at one point he was, they were, I mean, they were up by 21 to nothing.
At one point they were up by 25.
And it was, I was like, I mean, I got to tell you, it looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was tough to think about New England coming back. But at that time I was thinking, you know, I never, when they were only up, when they were up 14 to nothing, I thought, you know, it just doesn't feel like they think they can win this game yet. They just didn't think that they could win the game. And then when they went up 21 to nothing, I remember thinking, well, I mean, that's
tough to overcome.
Come on now. Even if you don't want to win something, you're up 21 nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to pretty much throw it away to lose it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they did, man. I mean, New England, for the most part, looked like they were going to win the game and didn't matter what.
Yeah. There were, what, 3 or 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and it was still 28-3.
Right.
Before the Patriots finally scored and made it 28-9. Even at 28-9, it should have been over, right? It should have been over at that point.
They score the touchdown, and you think, okay, well, maybe they still do have a shot, and then they miss the extra point.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, for real, it's over.
Okay, well, they've still got to make two touchdowns and two-point conversions. There's no way.
No way.
I mean, maybe they get one of the two-point conversions. Nope.
Nope.
Get them both. And, you know, with Tom Brady, you don't bet against the guy. You just don't bet against him.
And Atlanta, I'm not sure, that last drive that they had in regulation where all they had to do was kick a field goal or keep the ball, but, I mean, drive in, but kick a field goal. They were in field goal range. And then we get a penalty and a sack, and they're out of field goal range with time left. For Brady to drive down the field.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, is that the sack the Kyle Van Noy from BYU made?
It might have been.
It might have been. He made a really big sack in the third quarter. And I think that's about the only stat he rang up, but it was a big one.
This is in the fourth.
It was a big one. So, yeah, that it was probably after that. Because I think that sack came from Hightower or Flowers, one of those guys. But the linebackers for Patriots played really well third quarter on.
And
man, in those first three quarters, they sucked. But the third quarter on, they were tough. Defense was tough. The offense kicked in, and then it was the Patriots again. And so it was the first Super Bowl to ever go to an overtime.
Right.
I was trying to think of all the firsts that happened. First time a coach has ever won five Super Bowl titles. First time a quarterback has ever won five Super Bowl titles. All of that happened with Tom Brady and, of course, Bill Belichick. Brady was 43 of 62. Wow, he threw the ball 62 times.
Look at that.
Wow. 466 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. He was 12 of 16 for 150 on the tying and winning drives in the fourth quarter and overtime. I mean, as soon as they got it to 28-all and it went to overtime, I'm thinking, okay, if they get the ball, they win. It's over. It is just over because they can't be stopped right now.
You're not gonna beat them.
Which is why that is the dumbest rule in all of sports. Jeez, I hate the NFL overtime thing. It's ridiculous. It puts way too much emphasis on who wins the coin toss.
But that's what they want, right?
Because if you win the coin toss, well, that's just luck. That's luck. So I drive down and score a touchdown. Well, now Atlanta should have a chance to do that. Why does only one team get the ball in overtime? It's the dumbest thing of all time. If you want to, you know, give them at least an equal shot, put them both at the 50 if you don't want to do two more kickoffs or one more kickoff.
Right.
Put the ball at the 50 and go from there. It doesn't have to be the college way at the 25-yard line. That's too easy for pros.
Right.
So put them at the 50 and let them go from there and let both teams have a shot. Play it out until somebody wins. It's not that tough. Why do we make this so difficult? It's a stupid rule. I mean, because now, in almost every case, the winner of the coin toss, I'd like to see the percentage on this, winner of the coin toss wins the overtime.
Wins the game, yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to know, it's got to be 70 or 80%.
I bet you it's
got to be. 888-727-BECK. Also, Lady Gaga's performance, I wasn't offended by it.
I was.
Is it just me? Is it just you and Glenn?
I guess so. I mean, I wasn't offended at all. I thought it was a good show.
Care.
I thought it was, you know, I enjoyed it. My daughter was dancing around too, and thank you.
I mean, I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan of her music. In fact, I barely know it.
I know it because of my wife and my daughter.
But
like
she's
a lot of
high
stuff.
Energy. Yeah. The song came out in 2011, the Born This Way thing or whatever, and yeah, that's got overtones of inclusion and diversity and all of those things. But I got over that stuff a long time. I mean, whatever. That ship has sailed.
Big time.
The Lady Gaga Born This Way ship sailed in 2011. I got over that. I get it. She thinks that we should include homosexuals and blacks and Hispanics. And you know what? So do I. I mean, I don't want to ban anybody to their own island.
What?
I don't. It's quite a concept. I know. I'm not saying we need concentration camps for blacks, Asians, and homosexuals. I'm not saying that. So, whatever.
Wow.
Now, if you want to say they're born this way, they're not born this way. The born this way thing seems to get in the way of the whole gender deal.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know how you get to have it both ways. We're born this way for homosexuals, but we're not born this way if we're transgendered. Well, wait, what?
I think it's all born that way now, right? It doesn't. I don't think they're trying to have
it both
ways.
If you're born that way, then you're a boy when you're a boy, right? If you're born that way, because that's how you were born. You're born a boy.
Okay.
But I guess she's saying you're born that way, that you're a girl inside of a boy's body. So in that eventuality, who made the mistake? God? I'm just really confused on that whole thing. I don't get it,
something.
But I don't care. It's Lady Gaga. I don't care. And I guess we're supposed to get fired up over it, but I'm just not. I barely got fired up over Beyonce's much more offensive thing last year.
Yeah.
With the militant anti-cop thing. I thought that was terrible. But we barely touched on it last year.
Yeah.
And this thing was even less offensive, I thought. But I thought it was really cool how she supposedly jumped from the top of the stadium, which something was up there because part of that was pre-recorded, part of it wasn't.
I gotta go with you on that. I can't find it anywhere, and maybe it's just because, you know, during the show, I was trying to find it.
Because they cut away from it. Why would you cut away from her falling from the roof?
That's the shot,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the shot.
But she jumps, and it looks fake, and then all of a sudden,
here she comes.
Now
down
she's
the stadium.
Actually coming, and you can tell that's real. So she didn't come all the way from the top. I don't know if they had something that wasn't long enough. They didn't have that thing. Was obviously the harness she was wearing was not long enough to go all the way from the roof to the stage. Is my guess.
Right. Well, I mean, they would have had to have one of those the European cranes sitting out there, right? To drop her in and out, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure there was quite a safety issue there. So they did part of it pre-recorded, and then they picked her up live.
They used the same studio that they said was the moon. and she jumped off the top of the stadium.
Houston's famous for that,
I know.
They're famous for that.
Might as well use... We paid for it. Might as well
use
it.
How many times are they going to trick us over there at NASA, bastards? but a lot of people are upset about it. I'm more upset with the hacks that they had all through the day on the 7.5-hour pregame show.
Oh, my God. I could not bring
myself to watch. There were some bad bands. Holy cow. Some bad bands, some bad interviews. It's like you can't fill 7.5 hours with quality stuff. You just can't do it. At least Fox couldn't do it because there was a lot of stupid interviews and a lot of bad bands.
I saw the bands.
Oof.
I saw some of the bands. That's why I turned that away. I couldn't do it. Because I knew if I sat down and started watching, I would be like you going, why are they doing this?
And maybe it's just me because I'm not a big country fan, but I thought that was the performance done by, and I can't remember the band's name, is it Zac Brown Band? The Zac Brown Band, This Old Man or My Old Man or something. It's supposed to be a touching song about your dad. It was just
you didn't
so
cry?
Bad. I didn't cry.
Didn't bring a tear to your eye?
It was such a bad performance and such a stupid song. I apologize if that moves you, and you know, I feel that way about my dad too, but the song doesn't move me because the song ain't good. But again, I'm not a big country fan, so maybe.
Well, it's still though.
That's what the deal was. But there was quite a bit of that yesterday. It was like, okay, we've bit off more than we can chew as far
right,
as filling
for seven
time.
Hours. And why does it need to be? I mean,
doesn't need to be that long.
I mean, I saw a shot of Chris Wallace doing his Sunday morning show with the backdrop of the stadium behind him. So I mean, they did the whole day there. Right?
Whole day.
I mean, it didn't matter what show you were at the stadium for the Super
sure.
Bowl. That's
a lot. It's a lot of coverage.
That's buying into the event, man.
Let's say the event starts at 5:30, which it did, right? Kickoff at 5:30.
5:30 Central, yep.
Would it be reasonable
we had to wheel the coin toss people out.
Thank you. I'm glad you got the
wasn't really
H.W. Bush thing in there.
So anyway, but I digress. Go ahead, yes. So it could start, you know, regular coverage 5:30, right?
Would it be so terrible to start the coverage at 2:30? Let's split the difference. Let's
3 hours?
3 hours of pregame.
Remember
wouldn't that be enough?
Wouldn't that be enough? You'd think so.
I would think so, but, you know, I guess I'm wrong.
With all the other shows that you have on, maybe referring to, our 3 hour pregame starts at 2:30 Central.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that bad a thing. Instead, you've got these people we've never heard of or seen before interviewing people we've never heard of or seen before with movies we're not interested in coming up, and we're talking to them about football. What is that?
They love football.
It's just bad. They love football.
They love football.
And they love talking about their upcoming project, whatever it is.
We love football. So. Listen, I am a big fan of the NFL, and I love the NFL. Did I tell you I have a new movie coming out?
Yeah, you did, and I am not interested still. But then there was the Hamilton cast. These guys are always trying to do something PC and something bizarre.
Oh, of course.
I don't get what it is because I've never seen this production. But
I have not either.
All you hear from people who've been to New York, heard of New York, flown over New York is, you've got to see Hamilton. You've got to see
That's
Hamilton.
That's been a while now, too.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this cast is a big deal. And they sang America the Beautiful. Three of the black girls from the musical, and they added the line from physically to studies with Brotherhood. You know how it ends at America the Beautiful. I can't think of it right now, but they added Sisterhood to Brotherhood, and people are all pissed off about
that.
Here's another thing. I don't really care.
How dare they?
I missed their performance because on purpose. I didn't want to see it. I knew it was coming up, and they promoted it and said, "Oh, okay, good time to go get something to eat." Again. So they just couldn't piss me off yesterday. Try as they may, I guess.
And they tried.
And they did try.
And they did try.
They tried a little bit.
They did.
Also, Mike Pence showed his appreciation for veterans by escorting two wounded vets to the Super Bowl. That was a cool thing. And then, as you mentioned, HW did the coin toss, if you can call it that. It was more of a coin drop.
I'm sorry.
It was a coin drop.
I know that Roger Goodell said that he talked to him after they got out of the hospital and he wanted to make sure he was still good to go with it, and they said yes, absolutely, and you know, it was good, and it's President Bush, it's his hometown, it's Houston.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, but
I thought they put him in a bad situation.
Why didn't he
an
go
awkward
on the golf
situation
cart or something? He can't get out of the wheelchair now.
Maybe
is
not.
He wheelchair bound, which it could be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing it is since that last night, but
bless his heart, look at him.
I know.
It was sad, I thought, because he
so
obviously
too.
He's still, you know, recovering or still sick or now he's just gotten old enough to the point where he's just not he can't quite pull it off. And so I thought they could have helped him out a little bit.
A little.
You know? I thought they could have helped him out. 888-727 back, more Pat and Stu with Jeffy coming up in a second. But you know what you could do in the meantime is take a positive step towards self-reliance. We talk about things that can go wrong. There's a lot of different variations of disasters that can come our way. One of them, you know, is just weather. We get some pretty severe storms through here sometimes, and it can knock out power. You could be without power for a little while. You could have an ice storm or a snowstorm, and it just makes sense to call My Patriot Supply and order food. Just get prepared for a few days or a few weeks. Easy to prepare emergency food, which tastes like home cooking, lasts up to 25 years. Do it today.
How much would that cost you?
Well, I mean, how far are you going to go? You're going to go 4 weeks? You want to go 4 weeks?
If you order it and you say, yeah, I want to order it, and you know what? I'm going to start with the 4 week plan. What are you up to?
$99. $99.
What?
$99. And that includes the shipping, Jeffy. That includes the shipping.
What? Handling too?
And the handling.
What?
They handle it for free. Is that weird? I don't know. Everybody else seems to have to charge an arm and a leg to handle things.
I mean, I've been charged a lot over the years for handling, so I don't know.
They don't. So call them today, 888-411-5290. 888-411-5290 or at preparewiththeblaze.com. Oh, man. Hi, it's Pat and Stu with Jeffy today. Of course, Jeffy's here every day, so whatever. We're trying to do something about it. Give us a little time, you know. These things take time, occasionally.
Shh. What would you do?
Never mind. All right, so our president was talking to Bill O'Reilly.
That was part of the 7 hours of pregame coverage.
Fabulous coverage.
Yeah.
That's part of the 7 hours of coverage that I heard was coming up next and happened to miss. I don't know how.
What?
I tried to get back. I just couldn't find my way back. I thought, where is that television again? You know it's here somewhere, but I couldn't find it in time.
Oh, look, there's the kitchen.
Yeah, and so I found that on the way, and so I got waylaid. Anyway, here's a little piece of Donald Trump and Bill O'Reilly.
So another big week for the Trump administration. Judge Gorsuch, that rollout went very smoothly, I think.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
But the refugee deal, not so much.
I think it was very smooth. You had 109 people out of hundreds of thousands of travelers. And all we did was vet those people very, very carefully.
You wouldn't do anything differently if you had to do it over again?
Look,
Some of your people didn't really know what the order was.
Well, that's not what General Kelly said. General Kelly, who's now Secretary Kelly, he said he totally knew, he was aware of it, and it was very smooth. It was 109 people.
What was 109 people?
The extra 109 people that were detained that weren't supposed to be.
Oh, okay, right. Out of how many did he say?
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Okay. And Kelly, who's now Secretary Kelly.
Right.
I call
not
him
General Kelly.
Secretary. He said it went very, very smoothly. Wasn't he the guy that said he found out about it on the plane?
No, he said it went very, very smoothly. That's what he said. So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So why don't you want to wind up on an enemies list? No.
No, I do not.
Secretary Kelly, General
no,
Secretary
No, I do not. As a matter
Kelly
of fact, if I were President
very,
Trump,
very well.
I wouldn't have changed a thing.
No.
Not it was, one thing.
It went very, very smoothly. Everything went smooth.
Like butter.
He also says that he won't rule out defunding the entire state of California over sanctuary city immigration status. This I like, too. Here's
no doubt.
Here's what happened
I do
there.
Like this.
I do like this.
I just spent a week in California. As you know, they are now voting on whether they should become a sanctuary state. So California and the USA are on a collision course. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Sanctuary cities, as you know, I'm very much opposed to sanctuary cities. They breed crime. There's a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. If we have to, we'll defund. We give tremendous amounts of money to California.
So you're going to defund.
California, in many ways, is out of control, as you know. Obviously, the voters agree. Otherwise, they wouldn't have voted for me.
So defunding is your weapon of choice.
Well, it's a weapon. I don't want to defund a
but
state
you're willing
or a
to do
city.
It.
I don't want to defund anybody. I want to give them the money they need to properly operate as a city or a state. If they're going to have sanctuary cities, we may have to do that. Certainly that would be a weapon.
There you go. And I am wholeheartedly behind that. I'm all over the sanctuary city thing. You should not be able to ignore federal law.
If you don't like the law, though.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like it, then tough. You shouldn't be able to ignore the law. And if you want to continue to get federal funds, you need to abide by federal law, not ignore it.
What if you're like a county sheriff and you think, man, that law is stupid?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You still have to abide by it.
If you're like the mayor of a city and you say, wow, that is dumb and we're not doing it.
Still not moved. Still not moved by
really?
That. Yeah, you still need to abide by federal law. So,
Yeah.
So you could lose your funds. You could lose your funds. I'm all about that.
And I am too. And trust me, those cities are well aware of that threat.
Oh, they are. And they don't.
Well aware.
They're still defiant about it.
Because they don't think it's going to happen.
They don't think it's going to wait till it does.
I know.
Then they'll be screaming. They'll be crying about it.
They'll be laughing out of the other side of their face then. And then, of course, it's our president's fault.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's fault.
And Nancy Pelosi will be on yelling about it every single day on MSNBC. Here is where the whole interview kind of took a wrong turn, though, as they talked about Vladimir Putin.
You talked to Putin last week. You had a busy week last week.
I'm pretty busy. Yeah. Busy week and a half.
Do you respect Putin?
I do respect him.
Do you? But why?
I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with him. He's a leader of his country.
Yeah, we know that.
I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world.
Right.
Major fight. That's a good thing. Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
He's a killer, though. Putin's a killer.
Friends.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Well, you think our country's so innocent?
Wow, that is unbelievable.
You think our country's so innocent?
Oh, my
God.
I don't know of any government leaders that are killers in America.
Wow.
Take a look at what we've done, too. We've made a lot of mistakes.
Wow,
he doesn't back off it either.
Mistakes are different, then.
A lot of mistakes. Okay, but a lot of people were killed. So a lot of killers around, believe me.
That is unreal.
Oh, my gosh.
And yet, I mean, what will we hear from his supporters?
Oh, you took that out of context.
No.
No.
Do you know what that means? I used to try to explain this to the left all the time. Taking it out of context means we changed what he was saying by playing a teeny little portion of it. That's not what happened there. We played the whole context of what he's talking about, and there's no changing it.
No.
It is what it is. He is blaming, he is equivocating what Russia is doing with what we have done.
I had a lot of killers around.
A lot of killers. That part sounded like George W. Bush. There's a lot of killers. And a lot of poor killers. And just because people are poor doesn't necessarily mean they're killers. They could be killers if they're poor, necessarily. But it doesn't necessarily for sure mean that they'll definitely be killers if they're poor. I mean, what is that? There's a lot of killers.
Don't be so sure.
What are you talking about?
And he won't back. I mean, he's in front of O'Reilly.
No, he doubles down.
Yeah.
He triples down. That's really bad. That is really bad. And when it was Obama saying that kind of stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
The right was all over him. These Trump supporters.
Hates America. What's he doing? What is he, another apology tour on Fox?
Yep.
Agonizing.
I don't understand it. I don't understand to defend everything he says.
Yeah, but Trump.
Yeah, that's what it always comes down to, isn't it?
I don't know how much.
It's what it always comes down to.
I don't know how long that can go on.
888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Yeah, but Trump. More Pat and Stu with Jeffy. Killers. They're not necessarily poor. But they are killers. What? What's the problem? You've got an issue of some sort?
No, I got an issue.
All right.
You know, there are times, Pat, when you think to yourself, why? Why would you do that to other human beings?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about anything in particular. I'm was talking about, you know, say you're sick, you're really old, and people want to see you. So, you know, you have the people that are taking care of you.
Wheel you out in front of a billion people for 50 freaking yards? Yeah, I know. It's not good. Guy was the president of the United States. Do you really want to? Does he want to be remembered the way we saw him
yesterday? In World War II,
right,
man.
Right.
Come on.
He's a national hero.
Right. And I will say that Joe Buck did say there's, you know, there's not a tougher man in the stadium
that was
tonight.
Great.
I know.
Buck and Aikman handled it really
well. Yes, they did. And the players handled it great. Everybody was.
They did.
Everybody handled it wonderful. But it's just.
Yeah. And there's a good chance some of those captains that shook his hand were not big fans. They did it anyway. I don't know their politics, but you can guess.
Sure, but whatever.
But
it was part of the deal. There wasn't anybody taking a knee during the national anthem either, by the way. They rather enjoyed that.
That is cool.
To make their little Super Bowl statement. Everybody's just,
I forgot about that. And apparently nobody did because they didn't make any noise about that at all.
Nope.
Good.
Nothing I know. Well, that was
good. Maybe that's over.
I hope so.
I hope that's over.
Well, I hope so because Kaepernick's gone now, right? He's going to free agency. So, boy, I don't know what team would take him.
Oof. Is there anybody who would take him?
Probably, right? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I wouldn't want him.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't
want
that
guy. That's a big divisive character, man. But you
divisive,
know the NFL.
Not very good. You know, he had one decent season. I wouldn't want him. I do want Tony Romo, however, so if the Cowboys want to send him to the Houston Texans, please do. Please do. And then Cowboy fans can bitch about him all they want while he wins the Texans their first Super Bowl.
And he probably will do that, too.
He would. He absolutely would.
If he goes to Houston, he'll win them their Super Bowl.
He goes to Houston and forget about it. It's on.
Yeah.
It's on. They got a shot then.
Yeah, they do.
To compete with the New England Patriots. That would be something to see.
That would be. That actually would be fun.
That'd be great.
Now I want it to happen.
No, I want it to happen bad.
I was actually thinking that Romo, I don't know, it might not be a bad thing for him just to be a Cowboy.
No way. And play backup to
just
Dak?
Just be a Cowboy.
No way.
And his career as a Cowboy.
No. Absolutely. He's got too much left in the tank. That guy's got too much left to give. There's no way. There's no way. He already said he's got a wish list of places he wants to go.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Everybody has a wish list where they want to go too, but sometimes
Houston, Texas.
Wheelchair just goes where it gets pushed.
Houston, Texas was the first one mentioned. There was also Denver was on there.
I bet.
And I'm trying to think where else. Houston, Denver, and I can't remember where the other one was.
I only thought it was Houston and Denver. Who was the other one?
I don't think it was the New York Jets. He wants to go to a contender. The Jets are never going
to
contend.
New York. Nobody wants to play for the Jets.
No. Nobody wants the Jets.
Nobody wants to play for the Jets.
The Jets don't want to play for the Jets.
Right.
So, no, I can't remember the other one. But he's got, I mean, if they can find a way to get rid of Brock Osweiler in Houston, or to...
He should be good. He actually should be a good quarterback.
Well, he's like 7'8".
I know.
He's got arm strength. He throw about 150 yards. I don't know why he's not.
I'm not sure what's wrong there either.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but...
he'd be a good backup.
Tony Romo's the way to go. Tony Romo. He'd be a good backup to Romo.
Yeah.
I'd take that. All right, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Small Mississippi town is fighting back after the mayor was forced to remove a Christian flag. Hundreds of residents in a small Mississippi town took part in a demonstration on Saturday to fight back after the town's mayor was forced to remove a Christian flag flying over a local park.
What?
He was forced to take it down over the Veterans Memorial Park after the Freedom From Religion Foundation threatened the town with a $500,000 lawsuit. You got to love the Freedom From Religion people.
So since the town is just several hundred residents, Williams said his hands were tied. The predominantly Christian town was not happy with the situation, so they decided to organize a demonstration where they would rehoist the Christian flag. And
all you have to do is threaten. Threaten a lawsuit.
Right.
And everything comes to a standstill, and we just bend over backwards for these idiots. they said, we're not going to let other people or a foundation or anybody else up in Wisconsin tell us we can't fly our flag.
Good for them.
You're going to take one down, we're going to put 100 back up. So they're claiming, I guess, that they're going to put it back up. But they'll just get sued again. That means, I don't know. I don't know how you win this battle if you don't at least look at the United States Constitution, where it says nothing about separation of church and state. Not a word. Not one word.
No, it's
in the U.S. Constitution about separation of church and state. And if we don't ever take a look at that and realize, hey, wait, we're putting ourselves through a lot of misery we don't need to go through, we're going to continue to go through it. When will we learn that the Establishment Clause is like one line, and it's a real simple one, and it's the Congress can't make a law establishing a religion, period, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
That's exactly why you can't fly a flag over a...
Yeah, I'm not sure how that establishes a religion.
Perfect. It makes perfect sense.
I still don't understand how that establishes a religion.
I don't either.
It's crazy. It's absolute madness.
And I don't understand how a flag flying over some memorial, a Christian flag...
It doesn't hurt anybody. If you don't like it, you know what? Don't look at it!
Right.
Don't look at it.
Oh, look, I hate that Christian flag. Keep walking.
It's not that tough. It's really not that tough.
It's not that difficult at all.
No. All right, so the Boy Scouts have caved again.
Yeah, they did.
Man, they continue to cave.
Yeah, they did. And you knew they were going to do that. I mean, once you start caving.
Yeah, you don't stop.
Nobody ever stops.
They gave in on...
It's never enough.
They gave in on the homosexual boys can join. Okay, that's fine. Then they gave in on homosexual leaders. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess it's kind of weird, but
and it didn't
all
change,
right.
You know, and as far as many of the rules that they have for leaders and children, with that statement, it really didn't change much. You know, I mean, I kind of familiar with a little bit of the insider of the Scoutings.
Really? In what way?
Well, I mean, there's a... You know, a person in my family, a couple people. In my family.
That your wife is obsessed with the Boy Scouts of America?
She is. And my son will have his eagle here. My youngest son will.
Is he going to get his eagle?
He'll have his eagle here real soon. Yeah. So, I mean, it really didn't change much of the rules that they have for leadership, being with children and everything. So, I mean, she does not say this. I say this. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just make it Scouts? Be done with it.
And then it's girls and boys or?
Scouts. Yep. Just be done with
whatever.
It.
Okay. Well,
I mean, that's what they do in Europe. That's what they might as well, instead of the Boy Scouts. I mean, they've caved this far.
Yeah. Well, they
let it go.
And here's more of the caving of the Boy Scouts of America.
Here Hello.
Hi.
I'm Mike Serbot, Chief Scout Executive of the Boy Scouts of America. I'd like to update you on an action taken today
by
our organization so that we can continue to serve as many youth and families as possible.
All right, let's hear it.
Scouting is about one thing.
What?
To prepare young people for life with the goal of instilling in them skills that develop character and leadership.
Yep. Sure.
We and others have recently been challenged by a very complex topic on the issue of gender identity. For more than 100 years,
maybe should go
BSA,
by science.
Along with schools, youth sports, and other
science.
Youth organizations, ultimately deferred to the information on an individual's birth certificate to determine eligibility for and participation in
science?
Many
wow,
programs,
how hateful.
Especially single-gender programs.
That's what
After weeks of significant conversations at all levels of our organization, we realized that referring to
birth certificates not right.
as the
that's
reference
not right.
point
yeah,
is no longer sufficient.
That's not sufficient.
Communities and state laws are now interpreting gender identity differently
yeah,
than
okay,
society
well, then you
did
must
in the past.
As well.
And these
sure.
new laws vary
right.
widely from
okay.
state to state.
Mm-hmm.
Starting today, we will accept
Starting
registration
today.
In our scouting programs based on the gender identity provided
identity.
On an individual's application.
Okay. Yep. All right.
We will also
Good.
Continue to work with families to find scouting units that are the best fit for their children. In summary,
I'm
we've taken
you,
the opportunity to evaluate and
so
update our approach. I hope
so
you will
with
join
it.
With me in embracing the
so
opportunity
done.
To bring scouting
I'm
to
scouting.
More families and children that can benefit from what our program has to offer. The BSA is committed to identifying program options that will help
They're
us
committed
truly
to BS.
Serve the whole
I'll
family.
Still a good
and this
program.
Is an area that we will continue to thoughtfully evaluate to bring the benefits of scouting to the greatest
BSA
number of people possible.
Committed to BS.
All while remaining true to our
Listen
core
to this
beliefs
garbage.
outlined.
No, you're not remaining true to your core beliefs.
No, you're
That's bull crap.
No, you're not.
That is bull crap.
You're remaining core to your core beliefs that you've already changed from the core to a new core to another core to another core.
I mean, if you're going to deny science, the gender on someone's birth certificate, I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm out. And you know, both my boys, my last two, were what is right under eagle, life.
Yeah, life.
And at that point, I was like, okay, I don't know. They're caving on everything.
I know.
And so I just didn't care anymore. And then eventually, if you don't get them by the time they're 14, they don't care either. I mean, they've got other things going on in their life other than scouting and tying knots and earning merit badges. So when I was done, I mean, they were pretty well done. And I, you know, at church, my church is probably by far the biggest supporter of Boy Scouts in this nation. Mm-hmm. And every time they do the fundraiser, I just won't give it to them anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. You can give all you want. You can love the organization, and I know you guys do. I'm done. That just doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to deny what's on someone's birth certificate, I'm out. I'm out.
It does seem to go against the core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, while pretending that you're still hanging to your core values, yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up.
And I knew, you know, what pisses me off is that they had a cave to begin with.
Yeah.
Why don't they just stick to their core values like they say they are and then tell everyone else to put the core values where the sun doesn't shine?
Yeah, they're just not going to.
And they're not. And when they first caved, that's when it was over.
Yeah.
That's when it was over. I mean, it really was.
But this is amazing. Now you're just denying nature and reality and science. And so who's the science denier here? I'm sorry. I'm a little confused.
That's why,
that.
Hey, look, if you want the inclusion, just call it Scouts. It's not the Boy Scouts.
Right.
Scouts.
And change your core values because you have changed them.
No, we haven't changed our core values. We're just changing our name.
All right.
Just changing our name from Boy Scouts to Scouts because we want to include everyone, which is our core value.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is now. More Pat and Stu with Jeffy coming up.
It literally is unbelievable.
It is. It is. Triple 8 727 Beck. Pat and Stu with Jeffy. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK.
So Saturday Night Live had Melissa McCarthy on.
Yes, they did.
This weekend. And we saw her ad for Kia?
Oh.
The Super Bowl?
Was it Kia?
Was it Kia?
I don't know. It was...
Okay.
It was some global warming. Yeah. It was the Kia... Eco or something.
Yeah. It was Kia. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So some of the commercial stuck a little bit.
Yeah.
And she joked around. It was funny because they played a little joke on themselves about being, hey, you can still care about the environment with not actually going out and falling off ice cliffs and being slammed into ships with whales. And you have the Kia ad? Yeah, let's watch that now. And then we'll look at her Saturday Night Live performance.
Hey, Melissa, the whales need your help.
I love whales!
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, Melissa. Now the trees need you.
Bad.
The ice caps are in trouble.
Yep, that's how fragile they are. They split apart that easily.
Just like that.
Oh. Hey, Melissa, now the rhinos need saving.
Rhinos! Rhinos! It's hard to be an eco warrior, but it's easy to drive like one. Introducing the most fuel-efficient crossover, the Kia Niro.
Yeah. They're trying to get all of Hollywood out of their Priuses. That's good. That's going to be a tough task.
It will be a tough task. However, you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
And she was on Saturday Night Live.
She was.
This weekend. She played Sean Spicer.
Who is our new White House press secretary.
And she.
It was funny.
Was hilarious.
Here's a peek at that.
Before we begin, I know that myself. Because I came out here to punch you in the face. And also, I don't talk so good. Now, I'd like to begin today by apologizing on behalf of you to me for how you've treated me these last 2 weeks. And that apology is not accepted. Because I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to swallow gum, and I'm here to take Nate.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, that's
funny.
That's Sean Spicer, isn't it?
He
don't talk so good. And it is interesting how they spin. They're going to start spinning where I'm apologizing to me on your behalf.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't accept your apology.
Yeah, I don't accept it.
It will come to that.
If it hasn't already.
This might already be obsolete. I don't know. Hello, Pat and Stu with Jeffy, 888-727-BECK. Stu, as always, and we'll hear about this tomorrow, as you know.
I sit the Super Bowl. Do you guys hit the Super Bowl? I go to the Super Bowl every year.
And, of course, this was the greatest Super Bowl ever in Super Bowl history, and I was there.
At the Super Bowl. Were you guys at the Super Bowl? Where were you guys when the Super Bowl was happening? The Super Bowl was on, and I was there.
I was comfortably sitting in my front room.
Where I always want to be.
Not paying $20 a beer.
Not wasting a penny. Not wasting a penny on a crappy ticket in a nosebleed section. Not doing it.
And spending $30 on a hot dog with fries.
Yeah, didn't need to.
No.
Didn't need to.
That's where we were.
Had me a delicious burger that I grilled my own self. And it was fantastic. In my own little living area there. Huh. Watching a screen there of my own choosing.
You know.
Not
a 19-inch black and white?
No, it is not. No, it's not. It's a little bit bigger than 19 inches.
Black and white.
Little, just ever so slightly larger than 19 inches.
Yeah, but I mean.
And not much.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't need more than that.
No, you don't need much more than
19
that.
Inches.
21 tops. 21 tops. And that's diagonal. You know, that's across like that. So,
it was still black and white, but it's color.
Yeah, it's still black and white.
I'm
hoping to get a color one day, but that's still better than actually paying $4,000
right?
to be there or whatever it was. I was kind of looking at some of the tickets to maybe get an idea of what you would have to pay if you wanted to drive the 4 hours to Houston and check it. $6,000.
That ain't parking either, bro.
No, it's not that parking. That's not eating. That's only one person. That's not taking anybody with you. $6,000. The event would cost, because you'd stay overnight, obviously. And, I mean, it would cost $15,000 for a pair of people
for
to
two
go.
Two people, yeah.
I mean, that's ludicrous.
That's a good weekend.
That's ludicrous.
That's a good weekend.
And maybe Stu got it for cheaper than that. I don't know. But
well, first of all, he's only for himself.
Right, because he's not bringing anybody. Everybody he goes with
the stag group,
pays
right.
their own.
Yeah. So it's not.
Right.
You know, he doesn't allow the wife to go.
Secondly, they do this every year, so they kind of know what they're doing, sort of.
A little bit of the ins and outs, and they have, you know, they stay at different places, you know. So
they find a place far enough away that it's not going to, you know, bankrupt them to stay there. I don't think they had to take out a loan to stay there overnight.
Probably not. Still,
you coming
down
to
the wire on tickets?
A lot of money.
You coming down to the wire on tickets? What's the cheapest you're going to walk away with?
A couple thousand,
couple
probably.
Grand, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, and where are you? Did they move you out of the way to let Gaga jump and then put you back? at the top of the stadium last night for $2,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you aren't lying. But, why don't you guys go get yourself a $30 hot dog, because Gaga's got to jump from here, and then will you guys come back and sit down?
Now, he'll never tell us what he paid. He'll never tell us what he paid. But I would love to know.
I know.
And we'll hear about it tomorrow, except for how much he paid, which is the only part I'm interested in.
Right. Right.
The only part of the weekend that he just experienced that I'm interested in, and he won't tell us that.
Oh, we're going to find out.
You think?
Oh, I'm going to find out.
All right. You do some investigating and find out about that.
I'm going to find out.
Meantime, Donald Trump has said today that all negative polls about him are fake news.
Hello.
All of them. All negative polls. If it's a bad poll on Donald Trump, it's fake. It's not real. So.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone.
Can you believe the unmitigated gall of this guy?
Everyone.
If it's not praiseworthy of him, it's not even real. That just boggles my mind. And then those who follow him so blindly are all, yeah, that's right. Because everybody does love him. Every single person agrees with him. How can you even begin to believe that?
The Melissa McCarthy, Sean Spicer wasn't far off.
Really wasn't.
I mean, when you're talking about every negative poll is wrong, it's fake news. Come on now.
It's hard to believe. Hard to believe.
It sure is.
888-727 Beck. All right. We had a live audience in here the other day talking to Glenn about the Nazarene Fund, the refugee deal, and George Soros. And here's how that went.
We can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, and it has been another remarkable week with politics and the media. Kim, where do you want to start?
I want to ask about the Nazarene Project and where that stands now, especially since on the news we're hearing that Christian refugees might be given some priority to come to the United States.
Well, if Christian refugees are coming to the United States, then you don't need the Nazarene Fund. And that's a good thing, because they've been trying to get into the United States, and we've had to kick the doors down and open up 6 different countries, I think. And we have moved 4,000 people. The last number I heard was 11,000 people affected in one way or another, you know, whether we moved them or made their conditions better. But that number has got to be a lot higher, and 4,000 is probably closer to 4,500 by this time. We are now in a period where we are maintaining them. We had to promise these countries that we would take care of them for 2 years, give them language, make sure that they were set up. So that's kind of where we are now. We're working with the countries and with the people in those towns. What's amazing to me is I don't know why we don't talk about going back home. Almost all of the Christians that we have moved want to go back once hostilities stop. They don't want to stay. And they don't want to stay because that is the motherland, if you will, of Christianity. And they feel a great responsibility to go back. And it's fascinating to me that all we are talking about is rescuing people and bringing them over here, and then they're setting up a new life. We haven't worked with the Muslims, so I don't know if they want to go back. But it would be interesting to know that. Do they want to go back, or do they want to live here in the United States? And if so, why? Yeah. Does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. How many people were involved with the Nazarene Fund? It was, you should know that if we were politically on the other side, it would be one of the biggest things in the world. It is truly remarkable what this small group of people did. I mean, there will be great, great rewards for what you've done. You don't have any idea when you've saved girls from sex slavery and put the family back together, when we're hiding moms and their children from their brother who wants to honor kill because they've switch to Christianity. I mean, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. And this audience did it. And I hope you feel that. I hope you feel we've had to be so quiet about it because we couldn't tell the countries and we couldn't put people in danger, that it has really been amazing that the audience was so involved and yet you were so far away from it all. I someday we will tell you all of the stories when it's passed because they are remarkable. Miracles. We saw miracles. Who's next? Yes.
Well, Glenn, first of all, I want to say it's an honor. I'm humbled. It's great to sit here in your presence. It's as close as I've been to you.
And wow.
I watched many of your shows. I've been to many of your events.
Which ones?
I've been to 828. That was fantastic. I loved the geese scene that came over.
That's
that.
What everyone remembers.
Oh, yeah. I remembered you too, and it just definitely tells you that there's a divine reason why you're here, Glenn. There's absolutely a divine reason.
Thank you.
I've been out to Arizona, went out there and watched your seminars out there.
Thank you.
So I've been to many of your events. My question is, and I sat here and listened to you this morning, that we had enough. We've had enough. We've had enough in this country. And I sat over the weekend watching how the protesters, how did they get assembled so fast and so rapidly in this country? I know you and George Soros are great buddies.
Oh, so. We're like this.
Yeah, so,
one of us has a knife for the other's chest. So, I think that's him.
And when you go back and you look at the Agenda 21 and we look at all these issues that are out there, how can somebody not be considered a terrorist by funding these type of actions that are going on?
Because terrorist is a pretty big word to throw around. He is known as an economic terrorist in many countries. He has collapsed three economies. And I believe he will be behind the collapse of this one when the time is right and when the ducks are all in a row. He is the major funder behind the radical left, and you're exactly right. How did these people put this together so quickly? I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Women's March I think it's womensmarch.com website. I mean, when we put 828 together, we struggled. We didn't even know what to do to put a website together. We had no idea. We had to, you know, people start calling us and saying, hey, we're going to bring a bus. And we'd say, hey, could we put your bus on the website? And, I mean, it was organic. That website, in a week, had all of the bus routes. They had, you know, Florida at womensmarch.com, you know, Indiana at womensmarch.com. They had all these things that, as somebody who's put these events together, with a second job, you know, all of us, when we put those things together, that wasn't our that wasn't what we did. That was, we were doing that moonlighting. We didn't have time to do any of that stuff. How did they do that? Lots of money and lots of help. And I will tell you, I am gravely concerned about I think we have two sides that want to blow it up. I think we have Donald Trump does not. I don't believe he wants to blow it up. But Steve Bannon does. Steve Bannon has just been, he has just been made the president's proxy for the national security meetings. Now, how does that happen? A political advisor in those meetings without the president. And they've just gotten rid of the military advisor. The Joint Chiefs of Staff used to be there. He's out. And so is the head of Intel, out. Now, why would you do that? Why would you take military and intelligence out of that meeting? Why? Perhaps because you have a plan, perhaps, this is me just wargaming, perhaps because you have a plan that the military, you know, will not say yes to. They won't agree with those things. We want to go, let's just say, we want to go much softer with Russia. The military would say, absolutely not. The intelligence would say, absolutely not. But if it's a political organization, then your National Security Council can say whatever you need it to say. I don't know why that happened, but that's one of the scariest things anyone on my team has seen yet. In September, he said to Vanity Fair, darkness is good. This is Bannon, chief advisor to our new president. Darkness is good. Darth Vader and Satan. Now that is real power. He has claimed that he is a Leninist. And when they said, you mean you're a Marxist? He said, no, I don't agree with what he was pushing for. I'm a Leninist. I believe what Lenin did to gain power, tear it all down. That is who I am. So you have a guy who is pushing for instability, tear it down, pushing for the argument. On the other side, you have a shadow organization taking real people, our neighbors, and souping them up for the streets before really he's done anything. Last week, what the heck was that march about? What was that march about? Yes, the man has said things. Yes, I don't like what he said, but he's now our president. How did you get millions of people to march around the world for what? And then the very next weekend, you do it again. On what? That wasn't a Muslim ban. That is a hold. That is absolutely reasonable to say, I want to hold and look at the process. That thing was in process to be boycotted before the ink was dry. So what is this side doing? They're souping the streets up and playing right into fears, playing right into anger, souping them up. What's this guy doing? Souping them up by attacking the press. We attack the press, we feel good. Makes these people say these guys are insane. We're headed for a train wreck. I hope I'm wrong. But a train wreck of biblical proportions.
Well, that was my other question. The follow-up was, what is really the end game here? I keep asking that. What is the end game here?
Power. Power. Power and money.
Power. Power.
And
power
money.
And money.
Power and money. Money and power.
Powerful. Money and power. It's powerful. Am I right? Who's with me on that?
100% correct.
Thank you. 888-727 Beck. It is Pat and Stu, and this is, of course, Jeffy. You know, the fact is, your current phone carrier uses your money to undermine your beliefs, and they spend tens of millions of dollars to remove conservative leaders from office. I was stunned at some of these companies, and some of whom I'd heard of a lot, some of whom I'd heard of not at all.
I know.
But they'd spent upwards of $100 million.
Millions of dollars. It was actually shocking.
It was unbelievable.
Some of the money that these companies are spending.
And they're all doing it behind your back. They don't ask you, hey, do you want us to invest in Planned Parenthood for you? They don't ask you that. They just do it.
Nope, we just do it.
But there's an alternative. Jeffy, do you
there
know what
is?
That is? I mean, you
it's
don't.
It's Patriot Mobile.
Oh my gosh!
It's Patriot
Jeffy
Mobile.
Jeffy does know what it is.
They offer. Thank you.
Good for you,
thank you
Jeffy.
Thank you.
Jeffy knew. He knew the answer.
Patriot Mobile. I knew it because they offer nationwide talk and text
right.
with high-speed 4G LTE data.
Yes.
And they do it with competitive prices.
Right.
And donate up to 5% of your bill to a conservative organization of your choice.
Right. So like the NRA or, a pro-life organization, not to Planned Parenthood. And you'll be able to sign up and tell them where you want your money to go and all of that. So switch today. Patriot Mobile will buy out your current contract to up to $500 per line, and then they'll throw in a free iPhone 5S as well with a $50 unlimited talk, text, and data plan, or a free Galaxy S5. Really good deal.
Call
really
now. Good. Patriot Mobile will waive your $35 activation fee with the promo code Pat and Stu.
Pat and Stu is the promo code. Okay, so go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Patriotmobile.com/blaze or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Hi and welcome. 888-727-VEC. World leaders again duped into investing billions of dollars into manipulated global warming causes because they keep manipulating the data. And then they'll tell us, well, the consensus is clear. The science is in. There is no dispute. There is no discussion. That's why we can't have a discussion. It's already done. We're done with the discussion. The science is clear. There is complete consensus. No, there's not. The Daily Mail, and I'm trying to think, there is one of these London newspapers that does really good work, and I think it is the Daily Mail on this. Stu probably knows better, but they're the one of the few that actually cover this in a real way.
Realistic
yes.
points of view.
Yes. And they show that, hey, there may be another side to this. And maybe you haven't heard it. But they've revealed evidence that the organization that is the world's leading source of climate data rushed to publish a landmark paper that exaggerated global warming. I mean, how many times have we heard this?
Over and over.
And over again.
It never ends.
And was timed to influence the big Paris Agreement on climate change, of course.
Amazing.
Of course.
One of the high-level... I know.
Every time.
It's agonizing. And then we hear, oh, that was manipulated and it was wrong. Oh, but we just...
No, there's consensus. You're a climate denier. And if you bring up any of this, you're just
wrong.
A climate denier.
One of the high-level whistleblowers told the newspaper that America's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration...
NOAA.
Breached its own rules on scientific integrity when it published the sensational But Flood report.
I'll tell you something. There is no scientific integrity when it comes to this bullcrap.
I know.
There is none.
It certainly doesn't seem that way.
There isn't any. There is no integrity. There is no scientific integrity when it comes to global warming. All they want you to do is shut up and listen to what you're fed. Just, we're going to feed you. You just shut up and eat it. You just shut up.
Well, but what?
Shut up. And they jam it down your throat.
You said the Earth was going to be warmer by another 84 degrees by now.
And you said we wouldn't have snow anymore. Shut up. And they just keep shoveling it down. So on the one hand, where in the West, they've got, like, for instance, the Sierra Nevadas have 20 feet of extra snow than they normally have this time of year. 20 feet more than they normally have. So what are they focusing on? Like, I don't know, Des Moines, Iowa or something where there's four inches less.
Yeah, there's
right?
None.
That's going to be the case every single year in every single country. Sometimes you're going to get more snow in parts of the country and less in others. But Utah and the West are getting hammered this year.
So what you're saying is that it fluctuates. The weather.
Yes, yes.
I want to make sure I have it right now.
I don't know. You seem to be getting it.
If it's some years, it might be really cold over here.
Right.
And then really warm over here.
Over there.
Uh-huh. And then
right.
A few years later, it might be really warm over here.
Yeah, but colder.
And it feels colder over
here. Over there where it was warmer. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would also say that some years there's going to be a lot of snow in your area. In other years, there's not going to be as much. You're going to think, wow, we didn't have very much snow this year. And the next year, you're going to think, what the hell? Can we stop with the shoveling? And that happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember?
And that's happened my entire life.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I grew up, you grew up, you know, in Montana, in the north, but I mean, yep. I grew up in Michigan, and oh, I can remember, like oh my God.
Sometimes.
Snow, ice storms, yep. Rain, and then some winters would be.
Where's the snow? Nobody called it global warming at the time, though. It was called weather. That's what it was called back in the day.
You know,
it's weather. Yeah, well, the weather changed. Yeah. Or we had a Chinook this year, and the wind was blowing differently. It was blowing from a warm direction. Okay. I mean, unbelievable. Because there were times when I would walk, and I remember it distinctly, I would walk to school in snow up to my thighs, you know, because I was obviously shorter. And it would be up to here on me, and I would be trudging. It would be really tough to get through the snow. There'd be other years where we'd barely get any.
Right.
It's just been a reality on this planet because that's the way it is. The climate, the weather changes. It goes through cycles. And the sun goes through cycles. I don't know. There's a 2 million degree burning orb in the sky.
What we do is we travel
around.
We go around like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we're going like this, we turn
mm-hmm.
at the same time, right?
Right. And sometimes the sun hits us at different angles. Yeah, and the seasons.
And then there's other stuff that goes on the Earth that wind.
Uh-huh. Isn't that weird?
That changes all the time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Kind of amazing.
So,
and it's usually not the CO2 that's making it so warm. It's usually that two million degree burning orb in the sky. So, I think that has a little something to do with our weather.
The sun?
Yeah, call me crazy. I think it has a little something to do with the weather on this planet. So anyway,
that's impossible.
These boneheads,
impossible.
They continue to manipulate this data, and then we're just supposed to swallow it all the time. The report claimed that the pause or the slowdown in global warming in that period since 1998 never existed. They claimed the world temperatures had been rising faster than scientists expected. These are both unbelievable, blatant lies. And it was launched by the NOAA, by NOAA, with a public relations fanfare, splashed across the media all over the world, and it was repeated by politicians like Barack Obama over and over and over again.
It sure was.
Not only is it happening, it's happening faster. It's happening faster than we believe. No, it's not.
The data shows it.
And we said it over and over at the time. No, it doesn't. Look at all you have to do is step outside. And you know, it's no hotter than it has ever been. I mean, let's say it is 0.9 degrees warmer today than it was 100 years ago. Is that anything a human being notices? No, it really is not. And especially since we hit our peak of warming in 1998, and it's flattened out ever since. I mean, it's ludicrous what they're doing to us. It is, and that's why I continually call it a hoax. Because it is a hoax, the way they're presenting this thing. And they completely manipulate the data. They go back and change the data. They make it cooler back in the past so that it looks warmer now. I mean, over and over they're doing these little tricks.
The whistleblower, who
Dr.
is...
Dr. John Bates, one of the top scientists.
Yeah. Said it's shown that he has irrefutable evidence that the paper was based on misleading, unverified data. And I love this part. His vehement objections to the publication of the faulty data were overridden by NOAA superiors in what he describes as the blatant attempt to intensify the impact. Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the whole Paris climate deal was based on, was that impact, as what becoming known as the pause buster paper.
Well,
they
had to do something about the pause. They had to, because it's been going on in reality 20 years now, because it actually started, I think, in 1997. It's 2017 now.
Yeah.
So we are in our 20th year of this pause, and they can't have that. None of the computer models predicted anything like that. Not one of their models said, well, there'll be a 20-year pause, but then it'll kick right back in and get hotter than ever, and it'll go up 5 degrees a year until it's so hot that we're all incinerated. I mean, none of them predicted any of that.
Well, on top of which, the computer models themselves, even with right data, didn't predict it.
No.
But the computer models that are saying that it's we're all going to die were all based on all faulty material anyway.
Yes.
And it's agonizing.
Yeah, it is.
It truly is agonizing.
And even if you believe their dire predictions, the only time it gets dire is like after 2100, the year 2100. So you're assuming that, let's say that happens. Let's say that we're wrong and they're right, and there's going to be a 4-degree temperature rise by 2120. Well, you're assuming that in the next 103 years, we're not going to come up with anything.
We can't.
That slows that down or stops that in any way.
There'll be no changes in 100 years. We'll go backwards in 100 years. Think about how far backwards we've gone in the last 100 years.
That's what I'm kind of saying, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
progress could not be made.
No, there's been almost no, just the last 5 years, it's almost like we're back to the Renaissance time.
Right.
I mean, it's ludicrous to get all worked up over this. It's absolutely ludicrous.
It most truly is.
888-727 Beck, more patents too coming up in a minute.
It's just a money laundering
scheme. Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Beck. It's Pat and Stu. You know, one of the things that kind of bothers me that I've heard a lot over the last couple of weeks since the Patriots made it to another Super Bowl is,
I hate the Patriots. They're always in it. I don't like them. I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady.
Why?
They win too much.
Since when in this country do we hate success? Why is that a thing?
It certainly has become a thing, boy.
Why do we hate people who are successful? Why would you hate Tom Brady? Because he's really good looking. He has a really beautiful supermodel wife. He's won 5 Super Bowl championships. He's led his team to 5 Super Bowl championships.
Went to one of your leading academic institutions, the University of Michigan.
Right. We didn't used to be a country. I mean, I know we cheer for underdogs and that's fine. But why would you hate the successful people? Isn't that that's the whole mode of the left, isn't it? And
it sure is.
Income inequality nonsense. So should we redistribute some of the Patriot championships to the Atlanta Falcons because they don't have any? I mean, that's where you go with that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Right?
And trust me, there's some Atlanta Falcons fans that would be happy with that.
Keith Malinak's probably one of them. but what happens to the losing team's championship shirts? I think they wind up in Africa, don't they?
Yeah, don't they? I think they do. I always heard that they did. After the big game of any sport, fans and players are going to be clamoring for a commemorative merchandise, which we see all the time. I mean, everybody wears that. You know, as soon as a team wins a championship, they're sporting the new gear that's for sale now at NFL.com for $800. Based on strong sales after the Chicago Bears 2007 championship win, Sports Authority printed more than 15,000 shirts. Yeah, but what happens to the old stuff, the loser shirts?
Yeah, it's a lot of
misprinted shirts. Can't hit the store shelves.
They wind up a group, international humanitarian aid group called World Vision, collects all of these unwanted T-shirts, and then they distribute them to Pittsburgh, and then they're shipped overseas to people living in disaster areas. So that's why
goes to Pittsburgh.
If there's an earthquake in the Congo, you're going to see a lot of people with Atlanta Falcons T-shirts.
I don't think you will.
World champions.
I don't think you will.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think this year
they'll say no thank you to those.
Said no thanks.
I'm not wearing that thing. I'll go naked.
Are those the Falcons? No thank you.
Those losers, they've never won a single Super Bowl.
They blew a 25-point lead in a quarter in 2 minutes. No thanks.
But I think that is what happens to them, right? Because you always see them on the homeless in urban areas, and you see them on Kids in Africa when you get shot.
They got to print it up. I remember when, obviously it's a story in every city when your team goes to the Super Bowl and they talk about what happens if they lose. Well, there's been 85,000, all the store owners have got their orders in. And if they win, then their orders are automatically shipped to them. And some of the stores have to actually sign waivers, like if the team doesn't win, the boxes do not get opened and they get shipped back. You know what I mean? You have them at your store ready to sell, but if they lose, no, we're not opening them and selling them. And I'm sure the NFL comes in and burns your entire store down and takes your family and rushes them away for ransom if you sell them.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, stores are pretty good about sending them back.
Also, apparently there's a genius theory out there circulating for how Clifford's owner, you know, the big red dog,
Clifford,
biggest dog in the world, what is it, 25 feet tall or something, how the owner of Clifford would, how Emily, I think Emily's the owner, right? If I remember from my, from Clifford reading days. To my kids, how would Emily pick up his poop?
Well, first of all,
somebody's got too much time on their
hands. You'd
be
very careful.
That's the first thing.
You need to be very careful about it.
But is there a video of this? Is that what we have?
I hope so.
No?
Oh, we should create a video.
Yes, we should.
Of how to pick up Clifford poop.
The most feasible option, apparently, is that it would train Clifford to poop in a dumpster. Okay. He's around 25 feet tall, so based on the average weight and height of a regular lab, someone estimated he would weigh around 87 tons. If he was to poop in proportion to a human by weight, that would be around a 1,320-pound dog do per day. 1,320 pounds.
That's
so,
a good amount.
You wouldn't want to move that. You wouldn't want Emily to have to clean that up.
Well, that's a good amount. And that's also, I got to tell you,
I never thought of that when I was reading to the kids.
Where would Clifford poo go?
No, it's not something that ever occurred to me.
Daddy, what happens if the dog poops?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that tonight, kids. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. We'll talk about that in the
Don't
morning.
Don't all dogs poop, Daddy?
Go to sleep, okay? So we're all out of time. although we do have time for this quick trailer from the latest Beauty and the Beast trailer.
Ooh, have you seen
this? It's
going to
be a big movie. I haven't seen the latest.
This is going to be.
Here it is.
So big.
My dear Belle, you're so ahead of your time. This is a small village.
You are the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. Nobody deserves you.
And it's small-minded as well. But small also means safe.
Oh no.
He's a thief.
Come into the light. I will escape, I promise.
Look, a girl.
Who said that?
Hello.
You can talk.
No, of course. It's all he ever does.
How lovely to make your acquaintance.
Want to see me do a trick? What happens when the last petal falls?
Mastel remains a beast forever.
And we become antiques. What did you do to it?
Nothing.
Get out of here! Go!
You have to help me. You have to stand.
If she is the one, we'll break the spell. You must finally learn to love. Tell us all
this time. Have you really read every one of these books?
Some of them are in Greek.
True as it can be.
Hopefully that won't bring back Celine Dion. That's all I ask. Please, just don't start playing Celine Dion again.
But it's Beauty and the
Is that
Beast.
Too much to ask?
Is
that
it is.
Too much to ask?
That's, I'm guessing that will probably make a couple of bucks.
Yes, it will.
I'm guessing it'll make a couple
of bucks. I just heard this, that the actual story, the actual book, in it, the father trades his freedom for his daughters.
For Belle?
Yeah. With the Beast. He makes a deal with the Beast. Take her and let me go. I mean, that's pretty ugly. So in the Disney-fied version, we don't...
The father trades...
His freedom for her imprisonment. He sells out his own daughter in the book.
Oh, that I understand then. I'm sorry. I thought it was just the other way. That, I mean, if you're imprisoned by a Beast...
Of course you're going to sell out your daughter.
If you've got a hot daughter living in town, you might as well sell her out.
Might as well use it. What do you got the hot daughter for?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Beast, you're killing me here.
What a surprise.
You got her instead of me.
So, yes, that's the Jeffy version.
Thank you. I understand it now. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misunderstood.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly.
That's real ugly.
You know, you find out in so many of these fairy tales that they're ugly stories.
Oh, they all are. Dark.
Pretty dark and
you don't
and
think
nasty.
About it until, oh, I love this story.
Yeah, and then you read the real thing. Peter Pan's the same way. Peter Pan's pretty dark. Mary Poppins is not a happy chick. And so, when you read the actual stories, they're not Disney.
And then they stabbed each other in the face with giant swords.
Right. And they both die, kids.
Okay, good night. Right. Love you.
888-727 Beck, we got a Spoons episode coming up.
Oh, nice.
Should be fairly interesting.
What?
Yeah. Food. It's food. Okay. It's meat. It's I know there's meat involved, so we're pretty excited.
Fan of meat.
All right, so we've gotten to the bottom of the Celine Dion situation. She is on the new Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. She is on the soundtrack, which sucks.
And Peebo's not dead.
Well, we didn't say that on the air.
No.
So, but thank
you. I just wanted all those people who were worrying about it.
No, because the original Beauty and the Beast was sung by Celine with Peebo Bryson.
Peebo Bryson. Mm-hmm.
But this new one is going to be sung by Ariana Grande.
Of course.
Yeah, she's hideous.
Whoa.
Ariana Grande, she's an anti-American idiot.
No question about that.
Idiot.
If they just keep their mouths shut and sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Things would be much better. All right, so we've got a Spoons episode, but we're not sure why, except it's shaped like a football.
It's Super Bowl Spoons.
Look,
it's leftover from the Super Bowl yesterday.
Made from
somebody
genuine
had a
Super Bowl.
Football shaped sausage that they didn't eat.
Weren't
so
there
we're
any
going
leftover
to.
Wings or hot dogs or hamburgers, cheeseburgers, something?
Wouldn't that have been good? But,
yes.
This is summer sausage in the shape of a football. What must that taste like?
Look.
Again, this is only for science. Look at that. See?
Wow. Mm.
You could throw that to
in
a
fact,
friend.
As a matter of fact.
See if Brad can catch it.
Oh, boy.
Go long, Brad.
I'm gonna lose it in the lights. No, wow, that's
it's hefty, isn't it?
That right there, that is some meat.
It's some meat.
And
all right, and we've just handled it.
It's a little damp too.
Well, it came out of refrigeration.
Woof.
It's kind of gross. I mean, that is really
pungent.
Yeah, that smells like sausage.
It does smell like summer sausage.
Like sausage.
And there's some sort of.
You know, I've just had the flu. I might have to say.
Oh, great.
I'm going to take a Pasadena on the summer
what?
Sausage.
What?
Wait a minute. You just touched it.
I know. But not inside.
No, not inside. You just touched the wrapper.
What's so funny?
Is that good?
This looks good.
Looking good? We also have bacon habanero. Chips to try with this.
Here, Brad, come and take some summer
sausage. I'll come get it. Just,
I'm going to try a bacon habanero. I know what sausage tastes like. I think.
Me too. I don't think I can stomach that right now.
The sausage?
Yeah. I don't think
really?
It's
you
not
too?
Bad.
I don't think I can.
Is it good?
Yeah, actually.
I got a whole thing going on, and I don't think I can stomach that right now.
On a scale of 1 to 18, what do you give it?
9.6.
Okay.
That's not bad.
All right, what about the bacon habanero? I'll give those a.
Are these 7-Eleven chips still?
I don't know.
World Market.
All right.
I'm going to give those an 8 or 9. Although they do have a little kick to them.
Well, they got a sweetness to them, too.
Yeah, they do.
I like a nice zip to my chip. Those are pretty good. Maybe more than a 9. Maybe like an 11 for those.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an 11.
Yeah, they deserve double digits, for sure.
Yeah, do you think so?
Yeah.
It's that sweetness. It's got that little taste of sugar.
And a little kick in the back.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end.
Yum.
All right. Didn't you have a story that you wanted to share, too, before we're out of here?
We got a couple minutes, and I just want to share. I shared this on my radio show on Saturday and got a lot of heat for it. So I'm just going to remind you again that the daycare in Texas that put up the little sign that said, "Hey, you're picking up your child. Get off your phone. Your child is happy to see you. Are you happy to see your child?" Don't ask me that question. We have them in daycare. We have seen children trying to hand their parents their work and completed.
I was just making sure yours is on because you sound like you're coming from across the room.
Oh, my microphone's right here.
All right, so.
We have heard a child say, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," and the parent is paying more attention to the phone than their own child. It is appalling. Get off your phone. I just want to remind the daycare that I'm paying for you. Okay? I'm paying for you. I'll pick up my kid any way I want.
That's a sign in Texas?
Yes.
Of people telling parents how they should parent?
Yeah.
That would piss me off.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Now,
if you're on the phone.
I know.
And you're about to run over children, I would think maybe.
You're picking up your kid. And,
I don't know. Maybe it's appropriate.
Mommy, mommy, daddy, didn't you want to see the little necklace I made out of shells?
No.
No, you little brat.
No.
Look at
him. No, leave it here.
I'm sending out a tweet. Leave me alone.
I worked it up. Right?
Right?
I'm on the phone. Zip it. Okay?
I've got a Facebook post I'm working on. Shut up! That's how you handle children right there.
The place doesn't close for another couple minutes. Go back inside.
I've had 6 of them. I know. That's how you do
it. Thank you.
All right?
Thank you.
Shut up, you little brat!
Thank you.
And then you move on.
But I wanted to show you my special drawing. No!
Shut up, you little brat!
The picture is getting clearer and clearer now.